Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
That the Holy Spirit resides not only within each one of us, but in this place.
Amen.
Right? So, would you agree with me that where the Holy Spirit is, where the Holy Spirit is, that there's healings that take place, that there are things that he reminds you of so that you can speak forgiveness to people. Mm-hmm. He's always speaking to our hearts, right? And so, as you're here today, each one of us has that Holy Spirit within us. And I really felt the Lord saying this morning that there are some here that have been faithful, that have stood on the Word of God, and are waiting for an answer to a prayer. And I really feel this morning that answer is coming this day, this morning, whatever that may be. I felt more in the area of a healing in maybe your body, maybe an emotional, but there's something that you've been waiting. You've been good. You've been saying, Lord, I trust you. I trust you that you'll have an answer for me, and you're waiting. And so I hope that you have that expectation this morning. And if that's you that's going to get that answer today, just thank God. Thank Him ahead of time, okay? Because that's what He's about. It's already been done. The healing's already taken place. We just haven't received it yet for whatever reason. So thank Him for that. Thank Him for what you're going to receive this morning. This morning, someone or someone's is going to receive something. So please stand with me. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that we don't really have an idea, Lord, of the depth of the love that you have for each one of us. Your word says that it's beyond the oceans, beyond understanding how much love you have for us, Lord. And so, Lord, I ask that this morning we would be able to just lay down our hearts and that we would say, Lord, I receive what you have for me. I receive that I have been waiting for, Lord, and trusting in you. You've talked to him. You've just been there, and you're saying, I know that it's going to be. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the things that are not seen, but that have already been done because you love us, Lord. So as we come into praise this morning and worship, just let your heart reach out to him. Let heaven come down to earth. This is the place. Everyone here changes the atmosphere. So if you're concerned about anything else right now, just love on God and let him love on you this morning. Okay? And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's praise him. Okay? Amen.
So this is a testimony. It fits in perfect with this song. Last week I was working with the dumpster, and I had a lot of boxes. I had to throw away a whole dumpster full, big dumpster. And I came home. My wife said that, where's your ring? It's my wedding ring. It's right here. But it wasn't on my finger. And I knew, pretty much I knew it was in the dumpster. And I didn't know when the trash truck was coming. And my first thought was, it's gone. You know, I hope I have insurance for it. That was my first thought. Then we prayed. And, you know, I worked there almost 6-7 hours there. So the dumpster was full of boxes. And I had stuffed these boxes full of other boxes, loose boxes, tight, so it'd be easy to carry out. And so we prayed, and I had rest. I mean, I felt confident. and I was ready to go dumpster diving. And God told me on the way there, he said, check the boxes. He said, check the box. And I did about 15 of those big boxes and stuffed cardboard down, and I stacked them all on the side. And then the whole dumpster was full. So that was early on in the night. And the first box I picked up, the very first box, I heard metal rolling in the box. And I was very happy. And I set the box down and start unloading the boxes out of it. And I didn't see any ring until the very last box. So that's a good testimony. But what God showed me, I asked God, why did this happen? Why did you let this happen? Or what do I learn from it? And he said, when you rest in me, these things will be automatically easy for you. So I kept thinking, okay, why aren't we doing the things Jesus did and greater things? And it's really just trusting the Lord. And trusting and believing. And I'll just end this with one thing in The Chosen, which really I like a lot. It's when the father of the demonic son came for healing for his son. And Jesus asked, do you believe? And he said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Yes. And so that's a thing we all need to do, is just rest in Jesus and trust him. So.
Guess what? Somebody told me to keep my mouth shut today.
Oh, no. No, we don't want that.
And I know who he is. He's the devil. And I had a little bit of a bad morning. You ever have those? I got up, and my daughter and her husband were fixing a flat tire on our truck. And I thought, well, those are new tires. And this things like that were going on. I got all bummed out. And God, and he'll tell you the same thing. He told me, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. Get up.
That's right.
And so I got up, and the tire is still up. So that's a good thing. But we have wonderful fellowship here, and you guys have already encouraged me. I'm pregnant with the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
Yeah. And you make my baby leap. You do. And don't underestimate what we can do for one another when our heart's toward the Lord. And if there's one or two that are struggling or whatever, we can help them up in a hurry. And so I was thinking about my fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Once I got up, and 1 John goes on to say that we have fellowship with one another if we're in the light. And so we need to be honest and open. I don't mean brutally honest. I just mean bare our hearts, be able to say what we're going through, or what we need, and minister to one another in that. And so I still remember a young couple coming to me, and it gives me goosebumps. They looked at me in the eye with bright eyes, glistening eyes, and they said, we're going to be transparent. And I thought, wow. And that was their heart. They weren't just saying words. That was their heart, to be in an atmosphere where we can be real. And you know what I mean, real if we're down, real if we're up, real in the spirit. And that'll do so many wonders that I can talk and talk and talk. But that's not what God wants. Sometimes he doesn't want everybody to shut up. Didn't he? He did yesterday. And sometimes, do you have trouble with that when God tells you to keep your mouth shut? A lot of us do. But when I do, it opens the door for him to work. If I'm in a group, I work with others and through others. And first thing you know, the place is on fire. And so today, I'm walking without my cane.
Yeah.
Now, and I'm not preparing to fall, but even if I fall, I'll get up. Don't rejoice over me, oh my enemy. If I fall down, I'll arise with new strength. And so it's never over. Let's see, look at people. There's a saying, it's never over till a certain lady sings. Now be careful, Ernie. You're going too far. And that's that way with us. We can always get up right away. And just be honest with him. Tell him what you need. Tell him what you want. And he'll do it. And so that threw me off too. I was okay, Lord. I wasn't supposed to say that. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. We can build one another up. That's the reason, one of the big reasons we meet today, and honor our God. We're the real circumcision. We worship God in the Spirit. I'll quote a lot of scripture and not give you chapter and verse, but it's just in my heart.
Yes.
You know, and we boast in Christ Jesus. You know what Ernie's listening for? The name of Jesus coming from you, coming, you know, giving him glory, giving him honor. And this is a biggie. He said, we put no confidence in the flesh. Now, some people, well, like Paul said that, and he was very talented and very accomplished, but he could say that. Wow. And then he goes on to say, the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do these things and the God of peace will be with you. And I remember the first time I taught that, and people were really, we were all touched to think. I was sharing with Pastor Henry a while ago, and I was slobbering and sweating and just doing all that kind of stuff. And I couldn't help myself. I was just so overjoyed. And that's the way it can be. That's the way it is when we come together. We should be full of joy when we come and when we leave. And so I got off on something. I do that. Please love me and have patience with me. I'm not a straight line guy. You know? Some people would say I chase rabbits, but the brothers that I loved in Indiana said I was a lotus thinker. I like that better than chasing rabbits. And you can think, and it does. If you get to ministering to God and let him minister to you, all kind of things come that you weren't expecting.
That's right.
They just do. And so let's finish off the way we started today, you know, and let God be God and the enemy be scattered, okay? In Jesus' name. Oh, Pastor, I'm carrying my Bible, okay? He asked me if I ever used a Bible. I use my cell phone because it's handier, but I come under conviction, and I'm under submission. And I'll do what you tell me. Long as it isn't jump off a cliff. Thank you all for loving me. I couldn't sit there. We used to sing this song at a large denominational church in Georgia. And all heaven would break loose. And it just really, I really couldn't get over it. You know, people were falling out and praying for one another to be healed. And this is a denominational church. And I just get excited every day. You can't sing that too much for me, because I've seen how it works. I've seen how it works when our hearts are together in worship and praise. And it really did work. That's a place Charlene was backing up a couple of ladies that another man was praying for, and she don't just fall out for no reason at all. And she was there behind him, and the fella called him Brother John, He just kind of politely put his hand through the two ladies and touched her on the head, and she hit that cement floor so hard that I thought, well, now it's time for me to pray, make sure she's okay. And I went over and she was fine. But it's that song started it all, and all of our hearts turned toward God in praise and worship. I gotta shut up.
How many of you know that if you get into your prayer closet, you can fight your battles? A couple of you, okay. I was in my prayer closet the other day, and I was reading about in the Old Testament where the children of Israel were complaining again, and the Lord sent fiery serpents into their camp, and they started getting bit and they were dying. And the Lord told Moses to go make a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and put it in front of them. And if they looked at it, they would live. Well, I was reading that, and then it was mentioned again in the New Testament. And I did some research on it and everything. And then I got done praying and all that stuff. And I go out in the backyard to do some watering. And guess what came upon me? A serpent, a rattlesnake. That's the Lord revealing to me that he will reveal to you when the enemy is around you. When the enemy is, the Bible says he's wise as serpents. And what do the serpents do? They hide, they camouflage so that you can't see them, but they're always there. But the Lord revealed that serpent to me, and he had to pay a price for that because he crossed over the boundary and wasn't allowed. Because when we come against the serpent by not reacting to it, by not taking in those thoughts that we're supposed to take captive, taking them captive and not reacting to it, he has no power over us at all. So when the serpent or the devil comes against you, you have to continue in love, peace, joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and any others that I missed, and operate in the fruit of the Spirit, and he will reveal to you when that enemy is around you so that you can defeat the enemy in Jesus' name. Thank you.
I just want to encourage you. We're going to go into this next part. And there's never a time that God doesn't have it worked out for you. See, that's what's so amazing about this song, and what I love about it is because, I don't know if you guys have heard, but they talk about it with some other songs that you sing, about how they've done all these studies, like this university did all these studies about your brain and the way it functions, the way it works, and all this stuff. And one of the things that they figured out is that you can't be angry and upset and grateful at the same time. Like, they're just two things that are like the opposites of each other, so that when you're one, you're not the other, right? It's something that came to mind in this song because it's powerful in the moments, right? Where we're asking God to fight the battles for us. I like how in the last verse it talks about, in the valley, I know that you are with me, right? And that's the thing. The word already tells us and gives us confirmation of the fact that he is with us all the time. It talks about how he'll fight on our behalf, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. It's just something that his word's already given us a foundation in the fact that he will fight for us if we allow him to. You see, that's the thing, is a lot of times, right, what gets in the way of that is our emotions, right? I gotta fix it. I need to do something. I can't let that slide. They can't treat me that way. There's no way, right? All of those things get in the way of God trying to tell you, no, battle for you, because I can tell you that anything that God does is going to be 100% better than what you do on your own. Have you ever had those moments in your life where you do something thinking, oh, that's going to feel real good to say that or to do that, and then immediately once you say, I shouldn't have done that? See, because emotions can get in the way of what we know God's doing in our life. But if we learn to allow Him to do it for us, on our behalf, it sets us up in a position, I can feel it. It sets us up in a position in our life to be so much better, to be continue to move forward, not taking steps backwards, not letting things that are happening in our life take us 10 steps back, but continuing to move forward in everything God's done for us. See, allowing Him to fight our battles for us, it's setting you up for victory every time. Not just here, not just there, not maybe, every single time. Woo. So when you feel down and when you feel surrounded, know that God is fighting the battle on your behalf. He's already doing it. He's already taking care of it. He is setting you up for all the things that He has for you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to let you fail in that spot. He's going to maybe work with you in that spot, right? But He is setting us up for what He has for us. Steps forward, never backwards.
Hello.
Woo-hoo. So we're going to go into this next part of the song. And I just want you to claim your victory this morning. Give it all to God. Surrender it all. Let it go. Let it down. I don't care if it's that your boss made you mad or you feel like the problems, like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. Give it to God this morning. And choose to worship instead of to be down. Choose to raise your song for Him. It doesn't matter what that is, but your worship to Him. Choose to do that instead of letting whatever's happening in your life weigh you down and bring you down. Okay? So let's go into this next part of the song.
Hello, hello. Oh, there you are. Hey. That's the way Jehoshaphat's warriors fought that battle, amen? They sang their way in. Can you say amen? They sing your way into the thing and sing your way out. You know, Jesus said that. He goes, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Everybody say, all right. Is that right? In this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. Is that right? Yeah, you can sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Yeah. In this world, you'll have trouble. You'll have tribulation. But He said, fear not. Don't worry. I've already overcome the world. Can you say amen? Woo, come on, man. He has already done it for you. Is that right? See, He sees the end from the beginning. Is that right? He already knows. Hey, just lift your hand and say, God, I trust You, God. Amen? Just lift your hand and say, Lord, I praise You. I worship You, God. Hallelujah. And you'll watch how that trouble begins to relax. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. How many of you know that? How many of you know that He supplies you or us with a peace that passes all understanding? How many say amen to that? Praise God. He loves you and He's going to take care of you. Is that okay? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. You guys are a wild bunch this morning. Hey, let me ask you something. Does anybody have a knee that's hurting right now? Anybody got a knee that's hurting? Anybody? Heather? Can I get a couple of ladies over to pray for her? Because I don't know if I'm feeling your knee or not, but man, my knee is bothering me. I don't know what's going on, but I know that the Word of God says I'm whole and complete. Can you say amen to that? So I'm going to just say this. Anybody else have anything, a knee or, who's that? Eddie? You pointing at? Edward? Yeah. Tommy, can you put your hand on it, brother? Come on. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Steve. Let's get some. Hallelujah. This is for knees, not your knees. Knees. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? I don't know. This is the only thing I understand is God saying something about my knee. Hallelujah. So Father, I thank you. And the word, Father, your word tells us that by your stripes we are healed. You have provided the answer, Lord. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the healing that flows from your throne into your people, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for healing this morning, God. Thank you for touching Steve, Heather, Eddie, God. Hallelujah. And anybody else, hallelujah. Anybody else, in the name of Jesus, I pray this morning. If you agree, say amen. Say it with enthusiasm. Come on, man. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And whoever's watching on the internet, man, yeah, we're not on the internet. Don't worry about it. Yeah, so come on. Bunch of folks out there grabbing their knees right now. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Hit your knees once in a while. Isn't that right, Ernie? Sometimes it's time to hit your knees. Come on, bro. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. I don't know what God's doing this morning, but I sense God is doing something a little different this morning. Woo. Hallelujah. We're just going to let him have his way. How many say amen to that? God, just do what you want to do with us this morning. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. God's not here to hurt us. He's here to help us. Amen. Hallelujah. Whatever you sense, whatever you're feeling, it's God. Can you say amen to that? Come on, man. I can sense him, man. I mean, he's in the building, man. I like Pastor John came up and said, hey, does anybody believe that the Holy Ghost dwells in you? Yeah. Does he dwell in the building too? Yes, he does. Hallelujah. Rise up, O Lord. Yeah, Ernie, do you have anyone want something? Come on, man. Were you getting ready to preach, bro? Hey, Ernie's going to come preach to us on the 18th of August. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, come on, man. What if Jesus comes first? Well, he's already here. So come on, yeah. Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Ah, I tell you, it feels good in here. Somebody's been praying. Can you say amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. It's good just to spend a little bit of time, a little bit of time, a little bit of time. And what God wants to do. Go ahead, Ernie. Run up there, kid. Come on, Anna. You got to jump a little bit on your way in. No? Come on. She says, no, I'm not going to do that, bro. No way.
I don't spend hours praying, but the little bit of praying that I do, thank God for answering prayers, because I got 4 grandkids. I don't even remember how many great grandkids I have anymore, but it doesn't matter. I give them here, God. I can't be here, there, and everywhere. Take care of them for me. Yesterday, I got a phone call. I think she's 2 years old. She swallowed a penny and she stopped breathing. And the dad panicked, so he called 911 and they rushed her to the hospital in an ambulance to Tucson Medical Center. And my granddaughter works over there at Tucson Medical Center, so when the baby got there in the ambulance, she was already there. And I just pray to God, God, I pray that the penny is somewhere where they can get it out and she won't have to have surgery. Well, they did the x-ray and she not swallowed one penny, but she swallowed 2. And they got her to be able to breathe and they were able to get the pennies out. So that was a prayer
answer. Praise God, hallelujah.
So I'm emotional, but I thank God. I give him the glory and the honor and the praise because she's alive and well, and she didn't need surgery. So thank God for watching over our grandkids and the rest of our family. You know, can't be everywhere. Thank you.
Praise God. She prays a little bit, and we're going to pray that that's going to change. Amen. Come on, man. We're going to pray without ceasing, sis. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. That's what the Word of God says. Pray without ceasing. Pray. Amen. Hallelujah. This is how I fight my battles. 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 I will worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. This is how we take our city. Go ahead, Mia. Go ahead. This is how we take our city.
So I kept hearing the scripture, I go before you and I stand behind you. This is how we fight our battles. When we go to our Lord, as the pastor said, in perseverance of prayers, he will fight our battles. And what did they, well, the song also talked about the blood, right? The blood of Christ that was shed on the cross. That's what we were singing about, the blood. It's because of the blood that the battle is won. So if you are facing any battles, and I'm talking to myself too right now, if you are fighting any battles in your heart, in your soul, because you've been waiting for an answer to prayer, do not be discouraged or dismayed, the Lord says, for I have won the battle. He won it on the cross. He won it by the blood that he shed on that cross. And that's how we fight it, in perseverance of prayer and remembrance of what he did on that cross for us. And that's what communion does as well. We remember the Last Supper, and what he wanted us to do was to be in remembrance of what he did for us. And he has won our battles.
You put my water down.
Because he goes before us and he stands behind us. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, ma'am. Hallelujah. This is how I fight my battle. Come on, Deb. Come on. Go ahead.
I want to testify to praying. Last Sunday when I went to pick up my grandkids to come for service, a lady got out of her truck and she says, I want to thank you. She says, during a couple months back, I reached out to my daughter. So, how are you doing? Anything I can pray for you? And she's my friend. Her mom's going through cancer. And can you lift her in prayer? So we took authority over that cancer and we said, cancer, in the name of Jesus, you go. And she testified to over the months that there was a battle, but cancer's gone. And she said, I was so angry at the Lord, she said, because of all the things that were coming against our family, she said, but my relationship with the Lord has been restored. And so I want to testify to prayer and to taking authority that we have been given. We are perfect in Christ, and I wanted to just encourage you guys to stand up in what you have. The Lord, the Holy Spirit has given us gifts, and we have a screen of imagination, and I want you guys to go home and imagine that you have this suit on, and you have a zipper right here, and when you're walking around, you're going to open your zipper. God gave you gifts to use them, not to put on a shelf and get dusty. They're for your use. So I encourage you, you go home, you zip down that zipper, and Lord, here I am. And you take your authority in Christ, because there is testimonies, people are being set free. So I just want to encourage you guys, use your screen of imagination and don't let them gifts get dusty. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I have to get up here. I always know when the Holy Spirit wants me to move. I'm a big baby. My emotions just rise, but I know it's Him. Earlier when I started prayer for the service, I felt that somebody was going to get healed. Someone. Pastor Henry knew that there was something with knees. There's some healing going on this morning, okay? The Holy Spirit is moving. And so what I want you to do is, if you have something that you know needs to be gone, make that stand. Stand right now. If there's anything, any sickness, any disease, anything that's heavy on your heart, this is the day that He wants to free you. He wants to bring freedom. He wants to heal your bodies. He wants to heal your minds. He wants to let you know that He's in charge and nothing around you. This is what this song is saying. How do we fight our battles? We just put them in His hands. He's already done it. It's already been done. And so, Father God, we thank You for those things that have been done. We receive them, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that we no longer have to carry these things. They are at the foot of Your cross, and we want to leave them there. We choose to leave that sickness, Lord. We understand that You've already paid the price. You've already paid the price for that sickness. If there are things that are still on our minds that maybe we feel we haven't been forgiven, by the blood that You shed, we are forgiven. Past, present, and future, all sin is forgiven. We need not carry that. And Lord, help us to have the boldness to reach out to those that we need to speak forgiveness to. Because, Lord, You've forgiven us. And so we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You've sent Your Spirit here, that Your Holy Spirit is moving, and that everyone here, Lord, we have allowed for heaven to come to earth. We praise You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. In the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. We're not done yet.
Just want to thank for the power of prayer. I'm going to stand believing in that for my knees. I have an appointment coming up, but both of them are bothering me. But I'm going to stand firm that prayer today, all of that surrounding me, that I'm going to be healed, that there's nothing wrong. Praise and I just want to say, I really wasn't coming up to talk about my knees. Last Sunday, I was traveling for work, and I was just grateful to be able to have access to hearing from my church that I love, and listening to a sermon, Pastor Henry, hearing Ernie's testimony during that recording, and for the sound booth. I just want to say thank you for putting that out there and giving us access, the freedom that we have to be able to, you know, to listen to that. And it just is touching to my heart when I can still be connected to the church, hearing the songs. It just, I was stuck in an airport, traveled for 15 hours, but I was okay because I felt like I was surrounded by God and that nothing was going, you know, I was going to get home safe. It was a long, long day, but I was just grateful to be able to plug in and still connect to what I want to hear and putting in my heart. So.
God, praise God. Amen. Hey, my knee doesn't hurt anymore, so I don't know. Come on, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. Well, I better preach. Better give you what the Lord has given me to give you this morning. Praise God. I was thinking about, do you remember when the lady with an issue of blood was walking? And she looked at Jesus. She said, if I could just touch the hem of His garment. Is this on? You can beat off. If I could just touch the hem of His garment. And there was also a ruler there that Jesus was actually going to see His son. And so he stops and he says, who touched me? Who touched me? Because he sensed, the scripture says in the King James, it says as if virtue went out of him. lot of sense of virtue in this building this morning. But that God is doing something, I don't know what he's doing. You know, he doesn't tell me everything he's doing. Amen. But I know he's doing something. Come on, man. And so he tells her, go your way, daughter. Your faith has made you whole. And then he goes on and he heads for the ruler's house. And the ruler's, some of his servants come and say, too late. Too late. And Jesus said, just believe. Just believe. So he shows up and he said, and they've got mourners there already. And he gets his daughter, is that right? And he walks in. And he said, what's this big ado? What y'all doing? And he tells him, he goes, hey, she's not dead. She's asleep. No, man, we checked her pulse, man. We did the tests. She ain't breathing. She's asleep. And they laughed him to scorn, scripture says. And then the Bible says that he kicked them out. Can you say amen? All right, get out. Y'all better get out now. And he went in and he spoke to that young lady. And he told her, arise. Ooh, come on, man. Folks, we got a God. We have the authority to do these kind of things. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? We have the authority to speak to somebody that's hurting, that's sick. We have the authority. And I like to say it this way, God-given authority. God gave you the authority. It didn't come from Pastor John, Pastor Henry, Pastor Oral Roberts. It didn't come from any of them. It came from God. He says, I give you the authority to do these things. Can you say amen to that? Under the leading and direction of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? See, I don't get a lot of praying in my knees. But when I'm sensitive to when, you know, I had a pain in my side. I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to just tell you that. Because sometimes God gives you indicators. And a lot of times if we realize who we are in Christ, if we will say, well, you know what? I'm whole and complete and according to the word of God. So this cannot be my pain. Is that right? There's got to be somebody else needs a touch. Is that right?
Yes.
Can you think that way? Can you think kingdom ways?
Yes.
Where God says, I've already healed you. You're done. So all of a sudden you're getting the pain. No more is it, oh my gosh, should I go to the doctor and find out what this is? No, man. Just say, Jesus, what is this? Who is this? Who needs this thing? Remember watching the 700? Do you guys remember the 700 Club? And there was a guy on there, and what was that brother's name, the black guy? What was his name? What's that? No. Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway, he was Ben Kinchlow. Is that right? Something like that. Ben, anyway. They were having a question and answer with him after they had called out healings. And Ben told them, he goes, "How does God speak to you?" Not really. He just once in a while he'll speak to me. But for the most part, I'll feel a burning in my elbow and I'll call it out. I'll sense something going on in my chest. I'll call it out. Those aren't me. Those are indicators of what God is doing out there. And I loved it. And I said, man, I'm with that. I'm going to take that. Because if you live with an understanding that God has already taken care of you, then you can do that. Can you say amen? Because immediately your mind's going to go, what's going on with me? What? We got to learn that we are of the kingdom, folks. We're in this kingdom. So Jesus leaves this house, and this is where I'm going to pick up the story. He heals the young daughter, tells the parents, give her something to eat. And he said, don't tell anybody. How many like that? There was a bunch of people that said he was crazy, that just left their house. What do you mean, don't tell anybody? Just show them. Let them see your daughter walking around. Is that okay? But so he's leaving here, and this is where we're going to take up. It's Matthew chapter 9. And verse 27. And the word of God says, and when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." I just kind of picture things in my head. Does anybody picture things when you're reading? I kind of picture two guys are following him. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? These guys are blind. Anyway, you guys don't get it. It's okay. It's all right. That's just the way I think sometimes. Sorry about that. And these two guys were they followed him and said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" How many of you believe that God is able to do whatever he wants to do? That's it. Praise God. They said to him, "Yes, Lord. Yay, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said this, "According to your faith, let it be unto you." According to you. See, I can pray over you all day long, believe for you, but you got to believe it yourself. Is that okay? Can you understand that? I mean, that's not that hard. Some folks say, I mean, well, don't pray for me because I'm saving this for Oral Roberts, or I'm saving this for Benny Hinn. I'm saving it for whatever. Oh, bro, you're not getting what God's trying to say to you. Amen? Praise God. How many of you know the Word of God tells us we are healed? How many of you know the children of Israel went out of Egypt not one of them sick? Is that right? The Word of God says? It says that. Not one of them were feeble. I'm going to go take you to a story about a lady that I love this story. And when I began to look at it, I sensed the anointing on the story. And I said, "All right, God, I love this story." And I might have just preached it not too long ago, but I don't care. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You're going to say, yeah, you preached that already, Henry. Yeah, it's all right. So 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 8. I love this story because it is... It's very descriptive about a lady that's very focused. Can you say amen? How many of you know it's important that we focus? Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Focus, focus, focus. Is that right? How many of you know this missile over here was focused on the north? I was told. I've never been in the missile museum, but I was told that missile, when it was alive... It was sitting in that silo, and it was constantly looking at due north. So then whenever they fired the missile, it knew where due north was, and they could use that to calculate where they wanted that missile to hit, because the missile knew where north was, so they could figure out where it had to hit. See, the missile was focused. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "Focused." Focus that. Tell him, focus that missile. Yeah. Here's a woman that was focused. Starting at verse 8, it says this. It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem. Shunem, the word is the name of a city. It was a city that from the tribe of Issachar where this was. The word Shunem actually means quiet. Quiet. Be quiet. Anybody tell you to be quiet?
Oh, yeah.
My wife tells me that all the time. Hallelujah. It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. And she said to her husband, "Behold now." This is cool. "I perceive that this is a holy man of God." Can you say amen to that? I'll tell you what, this woman is hearing from God. Not only is she feeding this guy going by who she doesn't know, but then all of a sudden she's saying, "You know what I perceive? I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make him a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, a candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn in there." She's a generous woman. Can you say amen to that? Her husband says, "What? Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. Amen. We'll do what you want." And it fell on a day that as he came there, he turned into the chamber and laid there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call the Shunammite." And when he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to her, And he said to him, say now to her, behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for you? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered him, I dwell among my own people. I'm not worried about it. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered and said, verily, she has no child, and her husband is what? What does that have to do with anything? I just thought I'd throw that in. Isn't that right, bro? What does old have to be doing? Come on, man. Her husband is old, and he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood at the door, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, you will embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, thou man of God, don't be lying to me. Is that right, she said? He says, do not lie to your handmaid. And the woman conceived later on and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said to her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went to his father's, to the reapers, went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mom, he sat on her knees until noon and then passed away. Sad story, huh? And he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called to her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the donkeys, and that I may run to the man of God and come again. Your son just died, ma'am. Well, you can go for a ride? I will tell you, this woman was a focused woman. Can you say amen? And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Come on, man. Amen. And she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. If I fall off, pick me up. So she went and came to the man of God, to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, and when the man of God saw her from far, he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, and meet her, and say to her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, it is well. Was it well? Oh, man. And when she came to the man of God in the hill, he caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord has hid it from me, and he's not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, I gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand, go your way, and if you meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute you, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives, and as thy soul lives, I will not leave thee. And he rose and followed her. Yeah. She knows he's a man of God. Amen? He's a man of God. And I'm not going to turn him loose. He's the one that said I was going to have this child. I told him, hey, don't lie to me. And he didn't lie. And now my son is dead. But she didn't say all that, did she? She was focused. Lost my place for a second. And Gehazi, I passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. And Elisha was come into the house. Behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed.
And he went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, just him and the boy, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. And when he returned and walked in the house to and fro, anybody do to and fro walks? I do. And went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And when he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in, he said, take up your son. Take your son with you. And she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Beautiful story, amen? Oh, man, come on, man. God can do it. God can do it. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Amen. It takes faith, folks. You know that. You got to believe him. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you know that faith is a function of the heart? It's in your heart, not in your head. Because when something drastic happens, if it's just in your head takes over. But if it's in your heart, that's where God wants it. He wants that faith in your heart. Is that okay? So that when something happens, you go, God's got this. God told Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. See, we're surrounded by God. Can you say amen to that? He surrounds you. Hallelujah. Yeah, you're going to go through some stuff. Jesus said it. You're going to go through some stuff, but he's with you. He will take care of you. He's going to bring you through. Can you say amen? You got to believe it. You got to hold on to it. Faith is a function of the heart. Habakkuk 2:4. I'm going to just look at this. I love this scripture. It says this, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Amen? Amen. How are you supposed to live?
By faith.
By faith. This scripture is making a declaration, though. His soul that is lifted up in him is not right. Is that right? His soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. What's the Bible talking about? What's he talking about? Hallelujah. I want to tell you, I want to just give you a few things. I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Everybody say holy.
Holy.
Look at your friend. Say all of you.
All.
The whole thing. All of you. Black eye and all. Whatever. God wants to sanctify you wholly. Is that right? And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? How many say, yeah, I'm for that. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. I've seen that. I believe that Paul is setting forth a declaration of this is the divine order that we are to know. You got to know that your spirit is supposed to lead you. Do you know that? That's why he says be led by the spirit. He doesn't say be led by the soul. The world leaves out the spirit all the time. How do you say amen? I don't want to leave out the spirit. If I'm leaving anything out, I'm going to leave out the body and the soul. But God says no. Paul says he wants to sanctify you wholly. How many of you have been into, I don't know, maybe a lotion place and it says body and soul? Anybody? A cream that says body and soul. And all the world knows about most of the time is body and soul. But God has built us with his spirit. See, the word of God says, it says that in the beginning, God formed man in the dust. Is that right? So we're all a bunch of dirt. How do you like that thought? Formed you out of the dust. And then it says that he breathed his breath into that dust thing, right? Yeah. And that dust thing became a living soul. You see, it takes the breath of God to bring life. It takes the breath of God to animate that thing that was on the ground. It needed the breath of God. Folks, what we need is God's breath, His word, Him speaking into you. Can you say amen to that? So the order is spirit, soul, and body. But I want to just show you that. I just want to talk a little bit about the workings of the body, because I will tell you, every part of you is important to God. Some folks say, well, the flesh, you know, well, yeah, just deal with the flesh. The flesh is bad, all this. No, no, no. He created Adam in the garden the same way you are. So the body has five functions, has five things that it has. The body has see, smell, taste, touch, and hear. Is that right?
Yes.
Those are the five functions the body has. The brain can't receive anything unless it's through one of these avenues. You guys know that. See, smell, touch, taste, and hear. Take all those away, you can't do anything because you can't see, smell, touch, taste, or hear. You remember how many, Helen Keller, do you remember her?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess somebody, there was a girl that she was, I can't remember who all these names, but she was not able to see. She couldn't see. She couldn't hear. How do you deal with somebody like that? She still had avenues. She could touch. She could smell. So, I think, was Helen Keller the blind lady?
Yes.
Yeah. So she was able to, that's how the lady taught her, by the three avenues that she had, though she couldn't see or hear. So, isn't that cool? So that's the way the body functions. That's how we get input into our mind. Now it brings you to the soul. The soul has the mind, the will, and the emotions. You see that? The Holy Spirit comes to transform these things. Can you say amen? Because these things don't work well for us if we stay in them. Is that okay? Your emotions are your feelings. How many got feelings? How many had your feelings hurt last week? Yeah, nobody wants to say. My wife raised her hand. Honey, did I hurt your feelings? Yeah. I said, man, we don't need enough tacos. I must have hurt her feelings. But see, God is in the Holy Spirit. Here, let's go to this. Let's go to the Spirit. Bring the Spirit up. The Spirit is the communion, conscience, and intuition. Those are probably the biggest things. There's a lot of things that the Spirit does. But communion is communing with God. When you get saved, communion begins to happen. God's begin to speak to you. You begin to sense things. You begin to know things. Intuition begins to happen. Your conscience begins to be invaded. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Oh, man, I didn't say something to my wife that was bad, and my conscience would say, man, you need to say I'm sorry to her. You begin to operate in a way you weren't used to operating. Can you say amen to that? This is the way the Holy Spirit teaches you. This is the way he comes to transform the soul, because a soul needs transformation, because our will, we want to do what we want to do. Is that right? Is that right? I want to eat tacos every day, baby. Shut up. See, because I want to do what I want to do. But God wants us to do what He wants to do. Is that right? So how many see that the soul needs to be transformed? Those emotions that we go through, those feelings that we see, because I believe God gave us feelings. But he wants you to know that he's going to use those feelings, because it's your feelings where you sense the presence of God. It's your feelings that you look. Jesus looked on the crowd when they were hungry, and the Bible says his compassion looked at them because they were starving. And so see his feelings. See, there's a way to have these feelings in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that? God uses these feelings that we go through, and you know, these emotions, we call them emotions, but like Terry has told me, the word emotion isn't in the Bible. How many say amen to that? It's not in there. But we have feelings. And it's those things that God, we sometimes you're talking to somebody, all of a sudden you get overwhelmed with the feeling that you want to help them. Is that right? How many of you have ever done that before? It's a good thing. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you to do those things. And so it's important where it says, that scripture that I brought out earlier, it says, you know, in Habakkuk, it says, his soul that is lifted up within him is not right. See, if our soul lifts itself up and we do what we want to do, we want to do our will. We go by what our mind thinks we need to do. God's not leading you, and you're not letting God lead you and guide you, then your soul is not right in you. Can you say amen to that? And I got one word for you. Repent. Let your soul be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that it begins to speak into your soul. Can I tell you, it's going to be your soul that says, I got to go to the doctor. It's going to be your soul that says, you know what, I got to get me a lawyer. And the Spirit will say, man, you already got a doctor. You already got a lawyer. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
His name is Jesus. Woo! He says, I have given a son to you. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He gave him to you. That's who he is to us. You got to hold on to that. Say, man, you know, God's wonderful. Amen? Hallelujah. Who was that? Who was talking to me? I can't remember. Anyway. Hebrews 8:10 says this. See, the soul needs to be converted. And this is how the soul is going to be converted. He says, for this is a covenant that I will make with them of the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, that I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God. And they will be my people. It is the writing of the word of God upon your heart is what's going to transform you. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, you know, somehow we have thought that as soon as you say the sinner's prayer, the soul is saved. The soul is converted. How many of you know that's not true? It takes the word of God to convert that thing. Is that all right? Yeah, you know, yeah, you gave your heart to the Lord and you're walking with Jesus. And yeah, I had a friend, man. He was newly converted, man, and a guy at the county fair over here in Pima County Fair got him mad and he wanted to beat him up. He says, come on, man, let's go. Let's do it. The soul still needs to get converted because nothing of that old man is worth anything is valuable in the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? Nothing. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:1 says this, faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. You see, God's going to put that, he's going to place the word in you, and that word is going to create something within you. It's called faith. It's not your faith, it's his faith. Can you say amen? Oh, man, some of you guys, I don't know if I get what that. The Bible says that God gives us a measure of faith, and that's to get to Jesus. Once you get to Jesus, he says, you died. Is that right? You die on a cross with him. And everything becomes brand new. And the word of God says in Galatians that he gives you his faith to operate in. That's a big deal if you believe it. I'm not operating on my faith. My faith is dead. I died at the cross. What I'm operating in is a glorious, wonderful, powerful faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? And I will do what he tells me to do. Go where he wants me to go and say what he wants me to say. Hallelujah. Yeah? Yeah. Everybody look at your name and say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Will you do that? Will you do what he wants you to do? Will you do that? Come on. You all just said, yeah, so okay. Hallelujah. So real quick, I'm going to go back to 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. Was God with this woman? He healed her son, all right? Heals her son. And then check out what happens a little later on. It says, it came to pass on a day. I need to go to chapter 8, starting at verse 1. 2 Kings 8, verse 1. Did I might not have given that to you, did I, Liz? 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. It's coming soon to a theater near you. Yeah, come on, it's coming, it's coming. Yeah. This is how I fight my battles. Amen. Here we go. Then spoke Elijah to the woman whose son he had restored to life. Right here? And says, saying, arise, go you and your household and sojourn wherever you can sojourn. For the Lord has called for a famine, and it shall come upon the land for 7 years. The prophet is warning her, hey, there's a famine coming. Go wherever you can so you can live. Is that cool?
Yep.
Go wherever you want. Next verse. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. See, this woman believed him. He's a man of God. So she said, hey, there's a famine coming. I'm going. So, and he did the saying, and she arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. She left her home for 7 years. What would you do if somebody left your home? If you left your home for 7 years, you'd probably come back, you'd find a bunch of people living in your home, huh? Is that right? 7 years is a long time.
Yeah.
So, next verse. It says here. I want you to see it. That's why. Otherwise, I could read it to you. I could read it to you, but I want you to see it. And the king. Yeah, we need verse 3 if we can. Yeah. Huh. There. And it came to pass that after the 7 years, that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. You see that? She figured, man, you know what? I lost my place. 7 years, I haven't been there. The grass has grown. The trees, all the fruit has fallen off. No, there was no water. You guys aren't hearing me. Anyway, okay. It said, it came to pass after 7 years that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry to the king for her house and for her land. Verse 4. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha has done. Here, Gehazi is giving a report to the king. And he just so happens to be there talking to the king when this woman shows up. It's such a coincidence, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And there are no coincidences with God. God is always for you. It says, it came to pass as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, hey, what a coincidence. Look, my lord, king, this is a woman and this is her son whom Elijah restored to life. Isn't that cool? Shows up just at the right time. Coincidence? No, there are no coincidences of God. Your steps are ordered. Next verse, last verse. Come on, hallelujah. Did we skip one? I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry, folks. And here it goes. It came to pass when he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life. He cried to the king for their house and the land. And Gehazi said, Oh, my king, this is the woman. This is her son whom Elijah has restored to life. Verse 6. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. Isn't that beautiful? How God watched over that woman. How the prophet said, hey, just go for 7 years and come on back. And God restored everything that she had because she believed a man of God. Is that right? Folks, let me tell you this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is a word. Can you stand? Let's all stand. I'm going to let you go. Can you say amen? I know some of you say it's about time. But here it is. Faith is so important to you. It's important that you understand that faith is working within you, that the Holy Spirit is bringing things to you. He says, whatsoever is born of God. How many are born of God? Anybody here born of God? Anybody? Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. That's a word to you right now. You've already overcome. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even what? Your faith. Father, I thank you for your children this morning, God. I thank you for every one of them, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you have brought them here today. No coincidence. Lord, you brought them here today to hear what you have to say to them. That by your stripes, they've been healed. That you will provide every need, everything that they need, according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, because you love them. Thank you, Father, for loving us, dying for us, and promising us the things that you have for us, Father. We thank you this morning. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. If you agree, say amen. Amen. And hug somebody's neck and tell them thank you for coming this morning. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.